Check the faders.
All the other faders?
Yeah.
Good morning. Let's turn our Bibles to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 25. Deuteronomy 25, verse 13 through 16. Deuteronomy 25, 13 through 16. You shall not have in your bag differing weights, a large and a small. You shall not have in your house differing measures, a large and a small. You shall have a full and just weight. You shall have a full and just measure, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. For everyone who does these things, everyone who acts unjustly, is an abomination to the Lord your God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. We thank you that we could come before you this morning just to seek your face and to pray to you and to hear your word and to spend some time with you. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would release your presence, the fullness of your presence upon us, God. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this verse, this passage in Deuteronomy is one of the many rules that's given in Deuteronomy as well as Exodus and Leviticus. Much of those books contain rules, different regulations on how we can live our lives. This one specifically is dealing with having just weights, right? Not having, basically not tricking people, right? Having weights that are slightly heavier, so maybe you gain more money or whatever when you're dealing with things. You know, not having differing weights in your bag, one heavy, one light. So if you look through these books, Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy, you will find that there much of it contains rules, regulations on how to live our lives. And it's not an easy, those books are not easy books to read, because for us modern readers of those books, to many of us, these rules kind of seem a little random. You know, we don't really understand. Why is Moses and why is God talking about different weights? And there's rules about everything. There's rules about things like dealing with our clothing, the kinds of clothes that we need to wear, the kind of food that we need to eat. You know, what can we eat? What we cannot eat? And how we should do our work? How we should treat the slaves and how to deal with money, you know, when you're borrowing money, when you're lending money, and all that stuff, as well as things like sex and relationships with your parents, all sorts of things. All sorts of things are mentioned in this list of rules, all kinds of mundane, everyday things. So what's the lesson when we read, when we plow through books like Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and read through all these different rules, what's a lesson that we can gain or gather from reading all of that? I think it's this. Our faith and our relationship with God is supposed to affect every aspect of our lives, right? Our relationship with God is not just confined to our Sunday worship or our house church gathering, how we do the spiritual things of this life, like praying, worshiping, praising, whatever we think is spiritual. But our relationship with God and our faith in Him, when we call Him Lord, that needs to affect every aspect of our lives, including our work, including the way we relate to people, the way we interact with people, even what we wear, how we eat, you know, how we have sex. All kinds of things come under the lordship of God. So we went to Israel for about a week and a half with our staff. We just came back last Friday. And to prepare for the trip, I bought a book by this Jesuit priest. His name is James Martin, and the book is called Jesus, the Pilgrimage. Basically, it's his story of going on a pilgrimage to Israel, and he's written about his experience. It's kind of like a guidebook, but also a devotional book. But I'm not here to talk about that book, but he's written another book called A Jesuit Guide to Almost Everything, A Spirituality for Real Life. I haven't read it, but the title is basically what I'm trying to talk about. A Jesuit Guide to Almost Everything, right? What he's saying is, him being a Jesuit priest, him having this relationship with God affects almost everything. He calls it, the second title for the book is A Spirituality for Real Life, right? His spirituality is not just for his church life, just for his work as a priest. His spirituality is not just for the religious things, but it's for the real life, for everyday living, everyday mundane life. So, I think that should be the case for all of us. You know, not that our faith in him, not that we do everything differently because of our relationship with God. Because I was meditating upon this as I was coming to church today, and something like riding the MTR, you're not going to ride the MTR differently just because you have a relationship with God. So I don't think everything we do needs to be somehow different from the world because we have a relationship with God. But what I think this means, having our faith affect everything that we do, what I think that means is I want to be conscious of God in everything that I do. Right? I want to bring, or I think invite is probably a better word. It's bringing or inviting our Lord into our consciousness in everything that we do. Right? Whether you're at work, whether I'm riding the MTR, sitting down, reading, or whatever, I'm trying to just be conscious of my Lord, you know, my Master, my God, and saying to him, you know, kind of dialoguing with him, saying, God, is there anything you want me to do differently in this specific situation? We have a verse that we all know if you've done GIC, right? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, right? That's what it is. In all of our ways, everything that we do, we acknowledge him. We think about him. We become conscious of him. Another version, the latest version of NIV would say, in all your ways, submit to him. So this is not just, you know, it's not just that when we become conscious of him, we have to be conscious of all his rules and regulations. That's not everything. You know, I think it's some of it is true, like whether you're at work or whatever, you're in your family gatherings and you're trying to be conscious of God, and he might bring to your mind some kind of a rule or just a way that he wants you to live your life differently. But also, when we're conscious of God in everyday living, it could be that we're conscious of his love and the freedom that we have in him. As I was sitting here, just kind of praying a little bit before coming up here, the song was playing, I'm no longer a slave to fear. We're no longer slaves to fear. And it's being conscious of that as well. It's being conscious of the mercy of God. It's being conscious of the grace of God and the goodness of God. And remembering those things so that we live this life differently. Maybe we live no longer in fear. You know, we don't have to react to things out of fear. We don't have to respond to people out of fear. But we can respond in freedom. We can respond in love. We can respond in gentleness because we are aware of who God is and his grace, his mercy in our lives. So for me, here are some things that I just jotted down. It's how I ride the train. You know, I mean, even in riding the MTR, I can be conscious of God, and I can, maybe I will offer my seat more readily if I am in my everyday living conscious of God's love and conscious of his rules. Then I might say, hey, you know what, take this seat. You know, I don't need to sit down. You can sit down. I can offer it more freely. How I respond to Joel, my son, when he doesn't do things that I want him to do. You know, I came back on Friday night, and then on Saturday night, I remember, he woke up so early. He woke up at like 4:50, and I just got so mad. I was sleeping next to him. I was so mad. I was like, why? What's wrong with you? You know, I was kind of like, I raised my voice a little bit. But I don't think I should have done that. But how I react to things when things don't go the way I want it to, if I can just be more conscious of God's presence and his peace and his goodness in my life and his rules, then I would react differently. I wouldn't just kind of lose it, you know, with my son. How I treat my colleagues here at work, you know, here at church, how I treat my coworkers, how I treat even the people I'm going to go to the gym after EMP, how I treat the people at work. I mean, the workers at the gym, you know, sometimes you disagree with the rules that they have, but am I going to respond in passive aggressive, complaining, bickering behind their back? Or am I going to honor the people that provide this service for me because I'm conscious of my God and my Lord, you know? And even how I use my free time. Monday is my free time. And sometimes it's easy to think, oh, it's because it's my day off, I just get to do whatever I want to do. But no, my day off is submitted to God. And I need to be conscious of him and just go to him and say, Lord, this is my day off. I have a little bit of free time. How should I spend my time instead of just doing, stupid things, wasting my time because I think that's what I need or something, just, you know, watching TV or whatever. So I'm not saying that how we are doing now, like how you are living your life now, I'm not saying that it's bad. I'm not saying you need to change everything about the way you live your life and live differently. But the question that I want to pose is, are we consciously bringing God, you know, we call him Lord. Are we consciously bringing our Lord into our everyday lives? Right? You're going to, after EMP, you're going to get breakfast. You're going to go to work. How you treat people at the restaurant, how you treat people in your workplaces. Are we bringing God into, not bringing God, because I don't feel like we can just bring God to places. Are we inviting our Lord into these workplaces and saying, God, I'm going to submit everything to you. You know, this today, whatever situation comes, I'm going to submit it to you. I'm going to acknowledge you and be conscious of you. Maybe if we did that, there will be things that he wants to show us to say, no, I want you to do things a little differently. Right? If we took the time to say, God, I bring you into my life. I invite you into my life. Lord, is there anything you want me to do differently? Then maybe he'll show us some things. So, just want to encourage you with that. The everyday life matters. The everyday, the mundane life matters to him. At least that's what we see in the scriptures. Especially in the Old Testament, with all these different rules, what we learn is that God wants to be part of everyday living. Every little thing, every little aspect of our lives, he wants to be involved, and he and it matters to him. Not just the spectacular. In the church, sometimes we just get wrapped up with the spectacular. You know, we kind of want to do things that are more, eventful and glamorous or glorious, you know, more spectacular. We get excited about things like mission trips and I don't know, alpha course, you know, if we're starting an alpha course or something. You know, we have these events in our lives that are quite important. They seem quite important, and we get fixated on them, and we want to do a good job in those things. And I think that's good. We need to do a good job in these big events of our lives, retreats, mission trips, whatever, service trips, and things like that. But it's also the mundane, everyday living that matters to him. Just like in a human relationship, right? I have a relationship with my wife, and on the spectacular dates of our lives, I better do a good job, right? If it's anniversary, if it's her birthday, if it's Mother's Day, I want to make sure that I plan something that is great and fun and meaningful and significant. But I can't just do the spectacular well. I have to do the everyday living well as well, right? I have to be faithful to her every day. I have to compliment her every day, and I have to love her every day. It's not just on the spectacular, right? If 360 days of my life, I'm just ignoring her, you guys get it, right? Not loving her, not with her, and then on those special days, I can't make up for it, for the lack of everyday life through the spectacular days. So I think in the same way with God, it's these everyday little things, it matters to him. And it's a way that we can show to him that, God, I love you, and I am submitted to you. You are the Lord of my life, not just in the big things, but in the everyday things. And I'll be conscious of you today. So I'm going to ask Janella to come and lead us in a song. And let's just take a moment to invite the Lord into our lives today. Whatever you're facing today. I'm going to go to the gym. I have a staff meeting today. I have house church today. Maybe you can go through the day and say, Lord, I want to invite you into every aspect of today's event. You know, every aspect of my life today, I invite you to be the Lord over it, and I want to be conscious of you.
He's my my King. He's my song. He's my life. He's my joy. He's my strength. He's my sword. He's my peace. He's my Lord. Christ in me is to die is to gain. Christ in me is to live. To die is to
Yes, God, thank you, Lord. We just want to say that Jesus Christ, you are our life, God, and you are our King. I pray that today and this week, help us to be conscious of you, conscious of your presence, conscious of your commands, God, as well as conscious of your love, your kindness and your faithfulness, Lord, that we would be, we would willingly submit to you every aspect of our lives, God. Even our free time, even the time that we have on our own, God, it would be submitted to you, Lord Jesus, and that we would make you Lord of all things, God. So, yeah, thank you, God. Come, Holy Spirit, speak to us. Speak to us, God, and guide us today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Let's pray together for our church. Let's pray for those that are going through cancer and going through chemo and radiotherapy. Let's pray for the power of God to be released. And let's pray for healing. Let's pray for our friends not to be discouraged, to continue to have hope in Him. Let's pray together. Let's pray for our community that are in need of salvation as well as going through illness. If you look at the last, second from the last, Yiling's father is going through surgery today, right, Yiling? Yeah, a cataract surgery. So let's pray for him for a successful surgery as well as the other people that's on this list. Let's pray for them. let's pray for those with various infirmities in our community. Let's just pray for healing. Let's pray for strength and encouragement for our friends. Let's pray for our community that are looking for a job. Let's pray for God's provision and God's leading and guidance for them. Let's go to our Tuesday prayer focus. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for our government. Let's pray against the wealth gap, for something to be done. Let's pray for all the churches and different ministries that's listed. If you can also pray for some of the issues in Hong Kong, like the young people, Hong Kong students, not having any hope, you know, let's pray that they'll find their hope in Jesus. Let's pray for domestic helpers. Let's pray for families in distress and their children and in Hong Kong. Let's just pray and lift up our city. Let's pray for the staff together. If you could please pray for Pastor Sam. He's still not feeling well. Let's pray for full healing for him. And pray for the rest of the staff just to be healthy and to work well, to be led by God, to have God's wisdom, and to be united as a staff. So let's just pray for the staff. Let's pray for the hospitality ministries, welcoming team and barista team. Let's pray for Pastor Andrew and Ash as they lead these ministries. And let's pray for all the volunteers, that they would have the heart of God as they welcome people, as they serve the coffee. Let's pray. Let's pray for the worship team and sound team and our audio-visual team. Let's pray for our heart of worship. Let's also pray for excellence, that we would do the very best that we can as a team. And let's pray for anointing as well, that through the ministry that many people will be touched, many people will be able to worship God better, you know, connect with God better. So let's pray for this ministry. Let's pray for our house churches meeting today. First Street, Fontana, Garden, Hopewell, Kowloon, OPR, Soho, and Westville. Let's pray for the leaders. Let's pray for a significant time of discussion and ministry. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we can pray to you and bring all these different requests to you. And as we spend some time on our own to pray and to worship, I pray that you would release your presence. God, help us to feel your presence. Help us to know that you are near and that you hear our prayers, God. So Lord, we submit this morning to you, and we submit this whole day to you. God, once again, help us to be conscious of your presence, of your lordship over our lives, God, in the everyday things, God, the mundane things. So, Lord, lead us. We love you, God. We worship and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day today.